What happened is that they were actually able to control planes by their brain power. And it's like, man, that's really cool. And I mean, they're still working that whole thing out. But isn't that cool that some guy could just be sitting there and with his brain control 10,000 feet? I mean, that's pretty slick. But here's the thing is that we know that the mind's powerful. We know how much that can control and lock people and change people. And so we keep seeing more and more how powerful the mind is. And so this morning, we're going to look at that. We're in a series called Getting Ready. And last week, we realized that the only way our church is going to change, the only way that we're going to change, the only way that we're going to grow as an individual and grow as a church is that if God works with our heart, that our heart changes. And this week, we'll be looking at our mind, because I believe if we don't get this one down right, we can go through the motions, but we'll be dead. But before we get into that, let me just pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would fill this room. God, you would fill each one of us. God, we want to see you. God, we want our lives to be different. You promised an abundant life. And God, sometimes life just seems like we're just getting by. We're just scraping by in life. God, we hold that promise. God, we want our lives to be fulfilled. And we know sometimes there's things we need to do. God, we ask that you'd make it really clear to each one of us where we're at, the things that are going on. God, that you would push all distractions aside. You'd forgive the one that sinned, the one that teaches. His sins are many. God, we want to see you. We don't want any distractions. We want you this morning. In your son's name, amen. This morning, if you pull out your study guide, we're going to this number two in our series, and it's really important as this is a foundation. So if you would write down the first point, it's I need to change the way I process. I need to change the way I process. This is really huge. It says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you in a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. That word transform, that's metamorphosis is what it means. And that's like with a caterpillar. You know how a caterpillar turns into a butterfly? It's that transformation. It's like the difference between a tadpole into a frog. And it's a transformation that takes place. But what God's talking about is not a physical transformation, but an internal transformation, a transformation of our soul, a transformation of our heart, a transformation of our mind. And a lot of times people will say, when we talk about influences, and I actually know some people that will not send their kids to church because they say, I don't want my kids to be influenced by some of that stuff. You know, I want to make sure that my child's absolutely pure and I don't want them influenced by other things. Well, let me tell you, we're all influenced. If you picked up a newspaper this morning, you were influenced. If you turned on the television, you're influenced. Everything around us influences how we think. I had a great talk the other night with some people, and it was really interesting to hear their comments, their beliefs, the things that they shared about. And what they didn't realize is how much they were influenced by other places. They said, well, you know, I'm just a real free thinker, Rich. This is how I am. But it's like, no, you're actually very manipulated and you're very influenced by other people. And so that's something we got to keep in mind is that each one of us are influenced by the outside world, that there's things around us that influence everything that goes on in our life. Just as the whole caterpillar to a butterfly, when we're born, we are influenced by other things. And so if we're to change, that means that we have to go through that transformation. And so here's a great quote. You may want to write it down. I should have put it in your outline. It's a Warren Wiersbe. He said, if the world controls your thinking, you're a conformer. If God controls your thinking, you're a transformer. Let me just say that one more time because I think that's great. If the world controls your thinking, you're a conformer. If God controls your thinking, You're a transformer. See, in the second half of that Romans 12, it says, then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will really is. See, it's a day-by-day process that God wants to do in our life. And it's not a one-time shot. I mean, I love when I meet people and they say, you know what? You accept Jesus and your life is perfect. I mean, it sounds great, doesn't it? Too bad the Bible doesn't support that. Because that would be a really neat thing. If once we became a Christian, our life was just perfect. But it's a transformation that we need to do every day. And the second thing I want you to write down is that I need a standard to guide me. I need a standard to guide me. See, as we talked about earlier, influence. A lot of people don't realize who they're influenced by, who changes their mind, the way they think about things in life. And I think that you have to have a standard. When I do marriage counseling, and to me, I love to marry people that are non-Christians. If they're an unbeliever, I say, you know what, let me do your wedding for free. Is that all right? You know, let me do as much as I can for you. The only thing that I ask is that you go to marriage counseling and take it serious. I'll do it all for free. And to me, that's an awesome experience to be able to do that. And I sit down with two people and we start talking, and I ask them, what's your moral code? What is it that you believe in? And what's so interesting in our society, people really don't know what their moral code is. With one couple, I sat and I said, so what's right and what's wrong? And they're like, I don't know. I just know what's right and what's wrong. And we start bringing up scenarios. And I said, okay, so let's say that you broke your back and you were out of commission for a while. Is it okay for your husband? I mean, he's got needs and things like that. Is it okay if he has an affair with someone else just to get those needs fulfilled? Is that all right? And it was so funny because they start saying, I don't know. I don't know if that's okay. If it was a long enough period of time, I'm not sure. They had no standard of what they believed. And so what we'd start doing is a dialogue of what standards are. But I'll tell you, it's very easy for me. My standard is the Bible. If it's in the Bible, I say that's true. Sometimes I can make mistakes on how I understand things, but God never makes a mistake. And so what we know is that we can use the Bible to go to, and if the Bible says one thing and we do something opposite, we're going against that standard in the Bible. And so every person has to come up with their own standard, what they believe in. And I say the Bible, and so if we're to change and transform, the very first thing that we learn from the Bible is that we need to be alive. You can write that down, alive. In Romans 8:6, it says, if your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there's life. See, there's life by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Sin, when we live in a sinful life, we are just blind. I believe that we get caught in our sin. We don't see things clearly around us. But through God, we see things clearly. I believe that when we sin, we fall short, we miss the mark. God gives us a sorrow that we're like, oh man, this is a bummer. I shouldn't have done it, because I realize how sin affects me. It affects the other people around me, and it affects my relationship with God. And that's what happens once we can see clearly sin. A lot of times, have you ever seen people that really feel guilty about things? That's not the same as sorrow. Guilt is when you say, oh my gosh, I feel so bad about what happened. I got caught and now everybody knows and I'm exposed and oh, I feel so horrible. There's a difference between that. The difference is that with sorrow, the enemy wants to just make you feel trashy and feel down. But with God, with the Holy Spirit in our lives, we realize, man, we can be alive and free. I don't need to hold on to my junk. I can look at it and I can give it to God and let go. And I don't need to have that tied around me anymore. And it comes down to grace. I think that's the biggest thing with cults. People that don't have a true relationship with God is they don't understand grace. They think that they've got to perform for God. They think they've got to tap dance. They think they have to do all these things to please this God. There's nothing that we can do. It's our goodness, it says in the Bible, is like filthy rags. So as much as we try to do things, we're alive through Him, and we need to know that. The next thing is peaceful. Peaceful. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is a death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there's life and there's peace. See, that's a really cool thing to know, that there can be peace in your life. What the enemy wants to do is make your life like a Jerry Springer episode or something. He wants to bring chaos. He wants your life to be upside down. But God wants to bring peace. No matter what's going on around you, the Holy Spirit can give you peace. And that's what we ask for, is knowing that the whole world could be like a Jerry Springer episode or the Osbournes or fill in the blank of just chaos. But through the power of the Holy Spirit can bring peace into your life and how you live. It says in Isaiah 59:2, your sins have cut you off from God. Then it says in Luke 19:42, Jesus, he's weeping over Jerusalem and he says, I wish that even today you would find the way of peace. But now it's too late. The peace is hidden from you. Here's the thing, guys, is that there's peace. We need to find that peace. And that only comes in Jesus. And it comes in through the Holy Spirit. The next thing I want you to write down is focused. Is focused. It says in 2 Corinthians 11:3, I fear that somehow you will be led away from your pure and simple devotion to Christ, just as Eve was deceived by the serpent. See, it comes down to focus. We need to focus. See, what happened with Eve is that she lost focus. Instead of focusing on what God called her to do and to be a helpmate to Adam, she started hanging out with the serpent, talking to the snake, you know, chit-chat. Her focus was gone. We see that all throughout the Bible. We see that with David. Remember David? He was kind of doing that whole peeping Tom thing. And he's looking over and he's looking at people. And while he should be focused on what God's called him to do, he's ending up looking and seeing naked women and ruining his life through some of the choices that he made. But what happens is when we stay focused, because if you ask me, we sit down over coffee and you say, Rich, what are some of the biggest blunders you've ever made in life? I would say, you know what? They all happened when I took my focus off of God and I started focusing on other things. And I'm sure that's true in your life too. If we sat down and talked, you'd say, you know what? When life falls apart is when I'm focusing on other things other than God. It says in John 17:4, Jesus prays to the Father. He says, I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do. See, that's key. That's key. If we stay focused in life, things work out. I truly believe that. Doesn't mean that things are going to be easy or smooth, but when we focus, we're not getting into the problems as when we get distracted and influenced by the world. The next thing is humble. Humble. If you'd write that down, humble. This is a standard that we have. It says in Philippians 2:3, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. It's funny because just a few verses down, it says in Philippians 2:7, he made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. We all know that in the Gospel of John, it says that Jesus lowered himself beneath the angels. He humbled himself. He became flesh and dwelt among us. I mean, he gave it all up for us. That's humility. Sometimes you guys probably see false humility. People, oh, I'm so bad. Oh, things are, you know, oh, I'm not that good. There was a situation where there was a singer at a church and she was singing and it really wasn't that good, but the guy didn't know what to say. And he went up and he said, hey, that was really nice. That was a really nice song. And she said, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. And then the guy said, well, you know, I really heard the Holy Spirit do a better job last week at another church. But, you know, it's this thing that sometimes we have this false humility. We think, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, this, oh, that, you know, and we sit around and we complain and we talk about our needing a nose job while we're eating bonbons and we're sitting on the couch and we think that that's humility, and it's not. Humility is when we serve other people. When we don't think of ourselves as all of that, when we don't think of ourselves as great, if we're to change and transform our minds, we truly have to be humble, and we have to be as Christ was, and that's to serve. The next thing is pure, is pure. Paul was speaking, and then he wrote this. He said, everything is pure to those whose heart are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unconscious, defiled. That's Titus 1:15. So how do we get pure? What are some of the things that distract us from being pure? And two little side notes. I think it's the lust of the forbidden. And that's that thing of that I can have everything but this. We have this desire. It's like you can have everything around here. Well, I want this. What is it that I'm not supposed to have? That's what I want to have. I tell you, that destroys being pure in life when we're trying to focus about what we can't have. Another thing is the lust for power. And it really destroys. We want to control. We want to be in charge of everything. And it distorts our motives. They're not pure anymore. I met with a pastor this week that he told me that after they got done with a worship service, a lady came up, it was her first service, and she said, that was great, Pastor, I really liked it. And then she handed him a resume, and she wanted to be the worship leader. She wanted to be in control of something. And she went there for a while, and then when the pastor didn't give her the control, she left and went somewhere else, and she did the same thing at that place. And so that's something that can really distort us, is when we're just looking for power, when we're just looking to be over other people. The next thing, if you write down number three, is that I can change how I think through Christ. I can change how I think through Christ. A lot of people think that it's impossible. Have you ever met people that are like that? They're like, I can't change. That's just how I am. You know what? I'm Irish. That's just how Irish people do it. Or I'm Italian. And so that's how we do it. And we think that we can't change. And we can change. The only thing is through the power of Christ. It can't be in our goodness, in our strength. It's through the power of Christ to have that mind. Now, how do we get that mind? And make a side note on this, is that first of all, we have to immerse ourselves in the Word of God. We have to immerse ourselves. It says in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is full of living power. It's sharper than the sharpest knife, cutting deep into our innermost thoughts and desires. It exposes us for what we really are. It's huge. Remember, because we talked about that standard. We need to have the Bible as our standard and as part of our life. We need to be influenced by the Bible, what the Bible says. And there's people in the room this morning, and in any church in the country, I'd say probably 70% of the people don't have a quiet time with God. They don't have intimate time with God each day. They don't read their Bible. They sometimes do their big fill up at church. That's when they hear God's word. They come to church, they hear the Bible, and then they're done with it till next week. But if we're to be influenced, we have to know what the heart of God is. It's really important. And so I want to challenge, because we're a brand new service. We're really trying to reach our community. We're trying to reach other people we know with the love of Jesus. And the only way to do that, I believe, is getting our foundation straight. And so my challenge to each person here this morning is 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Write that down, because I want to challenge you to this. 5 minutes every day. 5 minutes every day. And I could tell you different passages to read. I could say, read the Gospel of John, which is a great gospel. I could say, read the book of Galatians. Each day I could say 5 minutes. But I want to challenge you to Proverbs. I want to challenge you to read the book of Proverbs. I believe that will change and transform your mind. And here's how to do it. What's the date today? Today is the 29th? 29th? Yes. And so if I open up my Bible and I go to Proverbs 29, read that. I can do that in less than 5 minutes. And God will change and transform your life. You will read wisdom of how to live your life. Tomorrow is the 30th. So what will you read tomorrow? Proverbs 30. You keep going. Then when we get to the first, Proverbs 1. And it's amazing. I believe if you give 5 minutes to God, He will change and transform your life. Now, the next thing that I want you to write down this morning, or just to put on your side note, is that we have to pray. We have to pray. If we want our minds to change and transform, we have to pray. It says in Matthew 6:6, speaking, He said that when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. We need to pray. That's our time of talking and communicating with God. It's really important that we have that into our relationship. Have you ever met people that when they pray, they like pray forever? And sometimes I wonder, do you pray it all on your own, or do you just wait till we all get together and then you just keep praying and praying and praying? We need to have our own relationship. That's kind of what Jesus is talking about, is this whole show off praying. That's when I was Patrick's, I was probably a little bit younger than Patrick when I stepped into ministry as a youth pastor. And the senior pastor, he was really sharp, really eloquent with his words. When we would go out, it was always interesting because I'd be like, okay, let's pray over the burrito. And he would say, oh, no, Rich, the scripture says not to pray. And he uses this passage. But here's the thing. He's taking it out of context. I mean, if I stood up at Baja Express and I start raising my hands and I say, oh Lord, everybody watch me as I pray over my burrito, and I start making a scene out of it, that's what Jesus is talking about. But there should be a very comfortable thing in our lives about praying. And the only way that it becomes comfortable is if we start doing it. And so here's my challenge again to you today, and please write it down, is 3 minutes. 3 minutes of prayer. This isn't hard. This stuff that I'm talking about, you'll find out that 3 minutes is really easy. The biggest mistake people do in their walk with God is they say, you know what I'm going to do, Pastor? I'm going to pray an hour a day, starting tomorrow. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to pray an hour a day. And then you talk to them a week later, they're like, man, I tried that first day, it was a little too long. And then the next day, and by the time we got to Saturday, I was just tired and burned out. So 3 minutes. 3 minutes is a very realistic thing that you can pray and communicate with God. And I encourage you to do this in the morning when you get up, when you get moving. Because if you do it later on, you know what? It's very easy to put that off. But we're talking about 8 minutes. 8 minutes a day to pray and read your Bible. I believe this, and I totally, from my gut, that if every person in this room prayed for 3 minutes and read their Bible for 5 minutes, that this room would double, lives would change, and people would be transformed. No question about it. No question. Because our mind starts to change. See, as we read and we communicate, it brings us to our final thing that I want you to write down on the side, is that we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. We allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. If we want to be Christ-like, we will need to know Christ. We'll need to know God. We'll need to communicate, and we'll need to be led by God. As we do that, when we look in the mirror, it looks a lot less like us and a lot more like Christ. And so if we truly want our lives to change, if we truly want to be transformed, That's what we need to do. We allow the Holy Spirit to communicate. When you're talking to someone, it's very easy to just, I look at someone through my eyes instead of, once I know God's word, then I can start to talk to people and see them through the eyes of Christ. And that's huge. That's huge, because if I just see someone as, hey, you know what, that guy's fixing my car. Yep, he's a mechanic fixing my car. Or if I see that person and I say, you know what, God values that person. He cares about that person. That person has a world going on that he needs Jesus. That changes how you act. It changes how you respond. It changes how you talk to other people. The focus of our mind needs to be on God. Because if we're not influenced by God, we're influenced by the world. Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, little message, 20 minutes. And God, sometimes it's just a simple type thing and then we walk out the door. But God, we know it's not simple. God, we ask that you would be with each one of us where we're at. God, that we would be transformed. God, that we would be changed. God, the process daily. God, that instead of moving towards the world, we would move towards you. God, that you would take our mind. God, you would bring healing to some of the distortion that we have. The way we see things. God, we ask that you would transform as a caterpillar to a butterfly. God, we need to change. God, we believe that you can do that. God, we ask that our life would be focused on you. God, for some of us, we've got junk in our trunk. We've got stuff in our life. God, right now, we lift that up to you. God, we ask for your forgiveness. Not that we hold on to it and get in this guilt fest, but God, that we would be free. We would be alive by giving that to you. God, that you would take this church, you would take each person here, and God, you would do a revival in our church. God, that you would transform and that you would change. And God, that individually we look more like you. And as a church, that we would look more like you. God, we thank you in your Son's name. Amen.